Welcome to Skills of the Future, a podcast by Perennial Talent. In this mini-series, we explore how to apply skills and competencies to the world of work.
Welcome to our Skills of the Future podcast. Our theme for this series is HR Game Changers, Applying Skills and Competencies to the World of Work. My name is Dan Vandewerf. I'm Principal Consultant and Co-Founder at Perennial Talent. In this episode, I'll be talking to Crystal about applying skills and competencies to performance management. Crystal is an HR professional in the field for over 17 years, with the past 12 years in HR leadership roles. She previously served as a board member for the HRPA Peel chapter and fundamentally has a true passion for bringing human resources best practices into organizations. Crystal, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you on this episode.
Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to talking with you today.
Awesome. So I usually like to start these off with a fun little icebreaker question just to kind of get the conversation flowing. So can you tell me about the best thing that you've watched or read lately?
I absolutely can. Right now I'm really focusing on mind over matter. So I picked up this copy of a book called Mind Over Mood, and it's essentially changing how you feel by changing the way you think.
Cool. That sounds awesome. I'll have to add that to my reading list. That's part of the reason why I like to ask these questions at the start, just to just expand what I'm reading or watching. So that's great. So shifting gears to the more performance management topical questions, how do you think the world of performance management has changed recently?
Well, I think it's safe to say for HR professionals, we've seen the pandemic throughout the beginning, and now we're almost at the end of it. And it's essentially created a remote workforce. So, you know, managing performance isn't as much about what time people come into the office, and, you know, even their quality of work isn't as important as it is to retain employees. So I find, you know, having these flexible work schedules and being able to really get to know your staff virtually has been so critical. So it's a virtual thing that's changed for me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And any kind of tips or advice for how to get to know your staff better virtually?
Yeah, you know, I would say it's weird because when you're virtual, it can be a very task-oriented conversation where leaders are calling the employees simply to find out if work has gotten done. And it really eliminates the personal approach of feeling like you're a part of a team and this is your family, you know, work environment. Starting off conversations by asking how the person is doing, saying hello, seeing how their day is going before you get into the work are honest to God, simple things that make employees feel valued.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Good points. So what are some of the challenges that you've seen when it comes to performance management?
In a virtual setting, it is a huge system of trust where you have to believe that the employee is working and not sitting on the couch watching TV, right? Mm-hmm. And I mean, for the most part, I don't know if that's important as it is on making sure the employee is engaged in the job and caring about the work. So I find it's been, you know, kind of difficult to make sure that we have an engaged workforce when, you know, we're not familiar still with seeing what they're doing all day. And that sounds kind of strange, but that's the reality of the feedback I get from the managers. And, you know, one of the reasons they want to have people come back into the office is to retain the culture and, you know, to have those social and relaxing settings, but with each other instead of, you know, by yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. And I think one of the challenges I've been hearing too is it's hard to find the right balance because in a virtual environment, you still want to check in with your people often enough that they feel like they're supported and part of the team, but then you don't want to check in too often so that it looks like you're kind of veering into the micromanagement territory. So it's kind of trying to find that that sweet spot of checking in.
And that's the whole, you know, developing an ability to create relationships virtually that are not based on work, even though it's a job, is so fundamental to the success of the manager. You know, we're hearing about this great resignation being termed throughout these social media sites. And I believe one of the reasons is that people are not as inclined to feel connected to their managers working virtually. So if the managers change a little bit of their approaches, if they haven't already, to really get to know how the person's days are going, I think it would create that loyalty that we're all in need of at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So treat people more like people and less like resources.
Yeah, funny enough, we're in the HR field for that.
Awesome. So what skills or competencies do you think are most important right now for successful organizational and individual performance?
I really do. Actually, that's the reason I'm reading this book, Mind Over Mood. I think, you know, we've all, and I had mentioned this to you previously, but I do feel like we've all been through a very traumatic experience with the pandemic, and it's either because it's impacted like the coronavirus itself to our family members, or just the lockdowns in general and maybe isolation in, you know, overall. So I think that it's, as a leader of an organization, regardless of the position or the department, I think it's really important that you are mentally checked in with yourself so that you can provide a place, a safe space for your employees to talk to, and you know, be able to helpfully generate resources that they may need in order to feel refocused on their job.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So it's kind of like the self-awareness piece, so that you're kind of mentally checked in with yourself. And then would it be like an empathy piece for kind of providing that safe space for employees and kind of hearing them out? Would that be a good label what that skill would be?
You know, I would say it's emotional intelligence, you know, and I think that is a skill. Yep. And, you know, in terms of competencies, you know, right now, I think it's really important that people can learn their jobs, but they can't learn their jobs if they're not focused. So you have to be able to be emotionally intelligent enough to read people's moods and be able to understand where someone is at mentally for the day, for the week, and have those check-ins and those conversations that are not work-related to help them get refocused on the job. And then in terms of, you know, competencies themselves, again, because we're in a virtual setting, we really do need to take greater care in what we're hiring for and understanding that we need to, you know, really spell out what the skill sets are for the job that we need, so that we're not as fixated on those skill sets when they join, and then we can just focus on getting to know the person better.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. So one question I always love to ask on the performance management theme is, how do you think performance should be measured?
Well, I mean, it's an input and then an output method for everybody, right? So you produce an item, and then, you know, you are measured by the success of how well that item was executed. So I think that, you know, a lot of companies I'm hearing are, you know, wanting to shy away from the performance management sort of performance review process, right? The annual performance review. It's just something that I think people kind of roll their eyes on. At the end of the day, they really are just looking for their, you know, bonus or their increase from the review. And actually, the point of it is really to provide feedback to the employee. So I don't think annual performance reviews should be the focal point for, you know, someone getting the feedback they need to be successful throughout the 12 months they've worked there. I think performance should be measured based off of a list of the projects or the list of the tasks that need to be completed. And it needs to be a regular check-in, whether that's monthly or quarterly, but it has to be a realistic one so that there's some checks and balances along the way. And it's not a stressful conversation for the manager to have to prepare for and, you know, weed through 12 months of emails to try to figure out if the person completed their tasks, right? Mm-hmm. So I think performance needs to be measured on a regular basis, whether that's weekly or monthly or quarterly. And it needs to be through one-on-one conversations. I think that communication is the most important piece. So everyone's on the same page all the time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I've been seeing that shift a lot too, that a lot of organizations are moving away from that like once a year review to that more frequent check-ins, and that they don't even have to be that formal. Like it can just be something that you and your manager kind of have a quick chat about how things are going. So that that totally makes sense.
And that's how the pandemic changed things for, you know, this series is called HR Game Changers. And, you know, I've been a part of watching this change and making the annual performance reviews more of a regular check-in point throughout the year. It was one thing that had to happen because we were virtual, but it's a second thing that is sustainable even when we go back to the office. It just allows the employee to really know where they stand with the organization at all times. And if people did it more, I don't think we'd be having this great resignation that's going on right now. People are leaving because they're not getting feedback and they don't know where they stand with the company. They feel scared, so they're leaving.
Yep. Exactly. I think you're right. So what do you think organizations can do to make sure that they are setting people up for successful performance, especially during these uncertain times?
I think that, you know, the collaboration between HR and the executive leadership is so important right now, because HR has been sort of the department that really had to get ahead of the coronavirus to be able to create the policies and figure out the tools that leaders needed to use. And I say that because when it comes to getting people set up to be successful, if executives and HR continue to communicate openly, I think they could translate that to understanding communication is key. Communication is the only thing that we have to go off of right now with each other. And if you don't have good communication skills, even if you're in a bad mood, that one conversation that you have with your employee could lead them to want to leave their job. So HR are the people that do the exit interviews and that get the feedback, so they know that that's the reason people are leaving. So if HR could really focus on communication training to these leaders, so that when these leaders speak to their employees, it's a positive conversation where the person, even if it's critical feedback, walks away not feeling on edge, but feeling confident and comfortable in their role. I think that's probably, for me, the highlight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And there's been research done on this too, that when you are communicating with people, they often don't remember what you said, but they remember how you made them feel. So it's less about like the context of what's actually being talked about, but more to making sure that you're ensuring that your employees are having a positive experience while they're interacting with you.
Well, it's the difference between a boss and a leader. And I, you know, we see these quotes all the time on LinkedIn. The difference between a boss and a leader is the boss is focused on what you completed in your day and task oriented. And a leader makes you feel like you're liberated to make a change. And that is only about communicating really well. Mm-hmm. So good leaders are naturally strong communicators.
Absolutely. That makes sense. Yeah. So some common themes, I think we've talked about strong communication skills, strong emotional intelligence and empathy skills are all really important, especially for leaders. So what do you think are the threats or pain points if organizations don't take the time to clearly define what these skills look like and to ensure that their leaders have these skills? What are some of the threats if that doesn't happen?
I think, you know, people's mental health is a big thing right now, and it should be. And so, you know, we have programs in place, whether that's EAP programs or short-term disability, where we want to be able to offer those, but we don't want a bunch of, you know, workers feeling that they have to go on them. And we don't want to create an atmosphere that's toxic for employees and perpetuate, you know, mental health that's going on right now because of this pandemic. So I think that, you know, being aware of what programs you have, and a lot of these, you know, managers don't know what programs they have for their employees. They kind of, you know, they'll send them to HR as they should. But I think an education on the benefits that we offer employees, I think managers would do well with really knowing what those are so that they could nip it in the bud and be that provider to the employee to say, hey, listen, we have, you know, 6 sick days that you can take, or we have, you know, a paid time off policy. Here it is. I think that would be a big help.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So yeah, making sure that managers are aware of all the resources and benefits that are available that can help support their employees. Yeah, that makes sense.
And I think what I'm saying is not being aware of those is a threat to the longevity of the employee working with you, because if they don't know that they can come to you as a resource, they will go somewhere else. And that's what they're doing right now. So that's a threat. I think the lack of, lack of understanding what programs we can offer employees is a bit of a threat to the organization, because it's actually a key selling feature for people to feel that stability that they're looking for us to give them right now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what do you think companies can do to mitigate or overcome or offset that threat?
I think that I'm a big fan of engagement surveys. I think that when they're anonymous and confidential, people do tend to speak up. And we always know people will, you know, come forward and discuss their pay. But when you get into the middle of that stuff, you get the real meat and potatoes of what we can really do to help. And these flexible work schedules, these paid time off programs, you know, if you haven't increased your sick days or time off days since the pandemic, I think it's doing the organization a disservice at this point in time. We all know that if you need to go into quarantine because you had exposure to coronavirus, that you're going to need to take time off. Like, that's just, it's going to have to happen, whether you have children or it's an older family member you have to care for. And if we're not providing a tool that will allow the people to take that time off because they legally have to, then we're asking people to leave us and go find another place that will give that to us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think a key piece that you alluded to earlier around communication also implies to the engagement survey that after you have all those results, it's essential to kind of circle back to the employees and say, hey, like, we heard you here. Here's all the themes from what was said in the survey. And here's what we want to do about it so that people kind of feel heard and understand that there are changes that are going to be made based on the feedback that they provided.
Yeah. And, you know, I think you're right. I feel that engagement surveys are the only way we can tap into a mass population of people to get what the themes are that we need to work on. And to, you know, while I'm stating to you that it seems that, you know, knowing what the time off programs look like for companies is relevant, that could only be relevant to my experience and my organization. Mm-hmm. And that's simply because of the engagement survey data that I've gotten back. But it might not be the same for, let's say, a tech company, perhaps. Yep. That's a different situation. So yeah, engagement surveys are definitely the way you get a pulse of what you need to deal with. But also, I think, you know, those like Glassdoor websites, it gives you a good chance as an employer to see what people are saying about you when they leave.
Yeah.
So I think those two things are really what you need to take and implement, you know, for the following year, at least one item that you can make better.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's really the key, that like actually doing something with the results and actually letting employees know that you're going to do something about the results. Because too often engagement surveys are done and then the data just kind of sits there and nothing happens. And then it almost has a negative impact because employees then don't feel heard at all, right? Like they just raise all of these issues and then absolutely nothing happens with it. So that's kind of the drawback of them if you don't actually do anything with the results.
And it goes right back to why these performance management conversations happening regularly helps eliminate a lot of that, right? Yep. Because again, it's not just once a year, you're getting a chance to give your feedback. You know, you would have emptied the tank regularly so that it's not full to the brim at the end of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. So that was my last question. I'm just wondering if you have any advice or tips for other HR professionals out there who might be looking to improve their performance management process.
You know, if you can put together communication training for leaders of all levels, I think, and it's not to say they're poor communicators at all, it's to say it's always nice to have reminders. Mm-hmm. And HR provides that space to do that. So focusing on middle management is also really fundamental because those middle managers can, you know, easily, you know, fall behind the scenes because they're focused in the day-to-day so much. And those are the leaders that are leading your frontline workers. So do training sessions on communication with those leaders. They're the ones that employees are coming in every day and working with.
Yeah, absolutely. Great advice. Well, Crystal, I want to thank you so much for being a guest on our episode today and sharing all of your knowledge and advice on performance management. Thank you so much.
I'm happy to help. Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it, Dan.